ABC Radio Australia.
Well, as we mentioned earlier, two MPs in Solomon Islands have also lost their seats after the country's High Court found them guilty of bribing voters ahead of last year's national election. And with the cases of another 20 MPs to be heard in coming weeks, many Solomon Islanders will be watching very closely to see what the implications there will be for the makeup of the country's parliament and the government itself. Now, these two MPs include the Solomon Islands Education Minister, John Moffat-Fagui, and Jamie Vokia, a first-time MP, but both of them are members, of course, of the ruling government. Now, money politics has long been a part of Solomon Islands elections, so much so that the night before the poll is sometimes known as Devil's Night, when candidates have been seen quite openly often handing out cash and other items to voters. Last year's election, though, was the first time that some tougher laws were in effect to try and crack down on this problem. Observers from the Australian National University recently released their report on last year's poll, in which they said that they had seen fewer instances of this money politics compared with previous elections, but they concluded it was probable that it was still happening, but likely it had just been driven further underground. James Batley, who was a former Australian High Commissioner to the Solomon Islands, led that team of ANU observers at last year's election, and I spoke with him about these cases just a short time ago.
Most of our observers were Solomon Islanders, and they certainly thought that cases of money politics were certainly taking place, but people were reluctant to talk to us about that. I have to say, I mean, of course, the other thing that we did find was that there was a very high level of awareness of these new and strengthened electoral offences that came in with the new law in 2018. And I think that may be something that we're seeing reflected in this large number of petitions that's come up.
Well, indeed, we've got two MPs that have now lost their seats, but there are another 20 or so election petitions still to be heard. Do you think the fact that we've got these two cases now, they've both been found guilty and are losing their seats, are they going to set a precedent in your mind? Is there going to be a major shake-up of Parliament and a whole heap of by-elections, quite possibly? Of course, not forecasting and preempting any guilty verdicts before they happen.
I think it's probably too early to say this might lead to a major shake-up in politics, but I do think certainly civil society groups will be very encouraged. There was a sense of, I think, disappointment that the first series of petitions had not succeeded, and I think there was a developing sense that, well, what's the point, that the system really wasn't working. So I think the fact that two petitions were upheld will really give people a sense of encouragement that the system does work. And then, of course, there are a number of petitions still to be heard. These petitions, which previously seemed to drag on for a long time, there's a deadline now, and the petitions have to be heard by April this year. So there is a real urgency to completing the remaining petitions. A judge has specifically been brought in from Australia to help with that process. So that there should be a number of these decisions coming out in the near future.
Going back to the election period itself, and as you say, that perhaps those new, tougher laws that were in place did deter people somewhat, but obviously not everyone. So if tougher penalties haven't been enough to deter people from accepting bribes and obviously giving out bribes, what else might be needed in your mind to change or stamp out this money politics? Or is it more of a thing that just needs time?
Well, I think the whole area of civic education is really important. And one of our recommendations was that the Electoral Commission should really continue that good work that it did in the last election. I think it's important that people, that voters as well as candidates, understand what the law actually says and what they can and can't do. So I think there is scope for continuing that. And I think, you know, that's not just a job of the Electoral Commission itself. It's something that civil society can take up as well. And I'm sure there are a number of groups that plan to do that.
Obviously, these two cases as well came at the same time as another MP is facing criticism and increased scrutiny over her decision to award a scholarship that she's entitled to award, but to her own spouse as well. I mean, does that just show you perhaps that there is this groundswell of interest in Solomon Islands politics and that MPs are facing more scrutiny by voters and wanting them to be held more to account?
Well, yes, it would be good to think that. Of course, there is a petition underway in that constituency as well. So, you know, it's possible that this could be part of broader, you know, political contestation in that constituency, but it is good that these issues are coming out to light. It's certainly some of the commentary around that particular case suggests that the whole concept of conflict of interest is really not very well understood in Solomon Islands. So there's, I would say there's some work to do there.